I would like to use a joint text this morning from the Word of God. One is found in the Old Testament, the other is found in the New Testament. And those two verses are these, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. And then John chapter 14, verse number 6. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's a warning, and we must pay attention to it. It is found identically in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, says verbatim the same thing. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And in the 12th chapter of Proverbs, verse number 15, though there are some slight changes in it, the meaning of it is the same. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Now, the solution to the problem of walking in different ways, the ways of men, is to be found in John chapter 14, verse 6. Where the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is a way, Proverbs says, but Christ comes in the New Testament and says, I am the way. I am the way. Every person born into this world is born with a nature that only dislikes God and dislikes what God likes. He rebels against what God likes. Show me what God loves and I'll show you what men hate. And you show me what God hates and I will show you what men love. Every person born into this world is born a depraved sinner headed for hell. Yet God in His matchless love and grace provided a way for men to be saved. Men hate this way and they rebel against it by endeavoring to manufacture another way which they prefer. Christ said in John chapter 5, verse 40, you will not come to me that you might have life. So our text this morning, and I hope you follow along carefully in this message, presents this truth, Proverbs 14, 12, the ways of man are many. The ways of man are many. Notice the way of a man seemeth right. He thinks it's all right. It looks pretty good to him. However, it only seems that way. It actually leads to death. Whereas in John 14, 6, the way of God is singular. Notice this is actual. It's not something that seemeth to be so. It is so. Jesus is not a way. He is the way. It leads to the Father. And no man can come to the Father except it be through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And that's the subject. Is that the theme of our study this morning, no other way. A bit of irony, had not planned on this, So many things happen we know nothing about until they happen. I started preparing this message the first of last week. Usually my sermon preparation starts on Monday. And I kind of get conceived with a message and with a concept. And I carry that sermon thought like a woman carries a baby for 9 months. I know that delivery is going to be on Sunday. So I just go through labor Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And come Sunday, we deliver, which God has given us in conception. Knowing this well, that if we continue to live one more day, tomorrow I will get pregnant again. And I'll start the cycle again. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and deliver. I say it's ironic because this last week, as a matter of fact, a couple of days ago, if you've been watching your television, a certain individual lied on the President of the United States and accused him of doing something that would be an impeachable problem. And the news media got hold of that thing, and they began to blow it up, and they used the word impeach 200 times just yesterday. All the news media except Fox. All the fake news media were saying impeach, impeach. But this is the way they presented it. Now, we don't have evidence. But it kind of seems like, he did this. Now, if he did, I'm not saying that he did, but oh, if he did, he needs to be impeached. And they sounded like Mormon Tabernacle Choir singing impeach, 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 impeach over something that seemed to be. Now, that's the introduction of this message. I want to give you a word study on the word seemeth. Seemeth. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. A thing seems to be because of logic, opinion, and experience. A thing that is based upon fact. It is based upon truth. I went to Mr. Webster. He assisted me greatly in the definition of the word seemeth. Webster says it means to appear to exist. It means to appear to exist. To appear to one's own senses, mind, observation, and judgment. It refers to an outward aspect which may or may not be contrary to reality. A diagnosis. This is Cozartology now. A diagnosis is not always correct because it's often based on appearance and not on fact. Illustration. You go to a doctor's office, and if you have been behaving yourself and if you seem like you're doing a little bit better, he might say something like this: you appear to be feeling better today. Does that mean you're feeling better today? No. But it means you appear. You seem to be. Which does not necessarily mean it is so that you are feeling better. A thing can appear unto logic and yet not be accurate. A thing can appear unto opinion and not be accurate. A thing can appear unto experience and not be accurate. A thing that actually is depends upon fact and truth. That's one reason why God gave us the book. So you can know the difference between opinion and fact. You can know the difference between what you think and what God says. I hold in my hand the verbally inspired Word of God. Everything in it is inspired of God. There are no errors. There are no breaks in promise. Everything in it is accurate and true. We either line up with this book or we're subject for a great big downfall because we're all victims of judging a thing because it seemed to be so. It seemed to be so. The ways of man are many. Number one, there's the way of religion. Many people today honestly feel like that they'll be able to go to heaven because of the religion that they had. And though I've heard this so many, many times, not much within the last 40 years or 50 years, but as a child, folk come to church saying, give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Well, it'll go lead you to hell if it's not the right one. People who are religious, you see. Cain and Abel were instructed on how to approach God through a sacrifice. And it would be that an animal had to be slain and his blood had to be shed. Abel took the firstling of a flock and did precisely what God told him to do. What his daddy told him to do. But Cain said, you know what, I think I can do better than that. And so instead of bringing a slain animal sacrifice, he had planted a garden and he brought the best leeks, onions, and garlics and cucumbers he could find in his garden and said, surely God will be impressed more with my offering than with my brother Abel's offering. But God didn't want his offering because it seemed good, but it wasn't good. It's not what God said. There's the way of human effort. You read in Genesis chapter number 11, verses 1 through 9, that the people in a given area decided that they would build a shortcut to heaven. And so they started building the Tower of Babel. What they really wanted was a big, tall tower that reached from earth to heaven with either an escalator or an elevator. So they could come and go and do anything they wanted to do and visit heaven every once in a while. And God destroyed that concept and confounded the languages of the people. They put forth great human effort to do it. It sounded like a good idea, but it wasn't according to God's will. The ways of man are many. I would mention to you the way of fraternal societies. Please listen to me. Some fraternities do a good work to help others, yet they do not have saving benefits. Whether Masonry, Odd Fellows, Knights of Columbus, Alcoholics Anonymous, on and on it goes, do not have saving power. Many, many years ago, there was a man in a different town at a different church. I visited with him in his home about Christ, tried to present the gospel. He said, Brother Cozart, there's something you need to know about me. I said, all right, what is it? He reached over on the table and he showed me a Bible, a Masonic Bible. And he pulled his hand out of his pocket and he had a Masonic ring. He said, this is all that I need. You know what? I'm glad that God saves sinners in spite of sinners. Not because of sinners, but in spite of sinners. It wasn't long after that that God opened his eyes and opened his heart and he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. I'm not here to kick your fraternity, but my dear friends, if you're trusting in your fraternity, it seems like a pretty good thing. But the end thereof are the ways of death. The ways of men are many. There's the way of good works. In Luke chapter number 18, you might take a moment to turn to it. Luke 18, verses 10 through 14. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. Now, that's where he had ditched most Baptists, right there. Right there. And I give tithes of all that I possess. The other half would be lost on that one. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the man who was a sinner, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The way of good works. How people strive to think that they could do enough good works to get to heaven. They could follow a certain moral code in life, and if they follow it closely enough, they could just almost get to heaven doing good works. The ways of man look good, seem well, but are not reliable. The ways of good works. Then there's the way of ritual. The way of ritual. Let's bring in the beads. Let's bring in the crosses. Whether you hang one around your neck or whether you put it on the dashboard of your automobile. Statues. Holy water. Wherever the world you get that from. Penance. Holy days. The confessional. Mass. The Hail Marys. All are of no avail in saving a sinner. The way of men, there are many, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Keep that in mind. The ways of man are many. There's the way of sincerity. I've talked to so many people down through the years, and one of the come-ons is being sincere. Brother Cozart, do you believe if a man's really sincere, I mean really sincere, don't you think God will take that into account? He sure will and send him straight to hell. Men go to hell sincerely every day when they die. Because there's a way that seems good unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could ever take away sins. It just is not possible. And yet, every feast day that was conducted in Jerusalem, men would travel hundreds of miles and go through every jot and tittle to make sure that they observed those feast days. They were so sincere, they deprived themselves of needs of their own in order to give money to the Lord's work in Jerusalem. All to no avail. All to no avail. Sincere. Punctual in the worship. That's good. But they could not be saved by these things. Might I add another one to the list? The ways of men are many. There's the way of ignorance. The way of ignorance. Two things I want to mention quickly. One is manifested in the age of accountability. Ever since I started going to church, I heard, and I heard it preached, and I heard it taught, that if you were a little boy or you were a little girl and you died, you'd have to go to heaven because you hadn't reached the age of accountability. We're told that when small children die, that's where they go, to heaven, because they have not attained to the age of accountability. This would mean they could be saved another way. As long as they die before they reach the age of accountability, they can go to heaven. That's another way. It seems right unto men. Manifested, second of all, in the untold heathen. We're told that God is a God of love and He would never send a heathen to hell who had never heard the gospel. And I've heard not only this from other individuals, but dear friends, I've seen it time after time after time. People have this idea that a person is not accountable for truth until he hears it. I was en route not too long ago to a funeral in Jacksonville, Texas. Go through Mount Selma. Now, when you get through Mount Selma, get off the accelerator, will you? Back up just a little bit. Because I didn't. I was trying to get through preaching and get to that funeral. And so, just as I was coming into Jacksonville, a highway patrolman, he pulled me. He said, you were speeding. I said, I did not know it. He said, it doesn't make any difference whether you knew it or not. You're not based on how much you know. Let me tell you what the wages of sin is, death. And my dear friends, we'll never be able to say, well, Lord, I would have trusted you if I'd only known a little bit more. No. Manifested in untold heathen. So as a result of this, sometimes people bring that over into a mission program and say, well, if they really don't know, God wouldn't certainly send them to hell because they didn't know. Then what are we saying? We're saying, don't send any more missionaries. Keep them dumb. Huh? Keep them ignorant. And they can be saved through their ignorance. That's another way. All people are born accountable unto God when they're born into this world. We are accountable to God as an offspring of Adam's seed. The other side of this coin is the way of God is one. The ways of men are many. It seemeth right. It seemeth right. Preacher, do you know what my opinion is? I really don't care what your opinion is any more than you care what my opinion is. Usually opinions stink. They're going to stink to somebody. What is truth? What is right? What is truth? The way of God is one. Notice the question is raised by Thomas in the 14th chapter of John, verse 6. Actually, the question is raised in verse number 5. Christ had just told His disciples He was going to leave them and go to heaven and one day and come back and receive them. And Thomas said, we know not where You're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. He answered his question. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. You got to come by way of Jesus Christ. You have to. There's no other way. No other way. The way of God is one. The Scriptures are very clear about this. If the Bible says it one time, that's enough. But it says it over and over and over again. Are you listening? Put your ears on. Think a little bit this morning. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Listen to it. Neither is there salvation in any other. Who said that? The Lord. Neither is there salvation. Peter said it. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He was absolutely right. People are saved by Jesus Christ and only by Jesus Christ. There is no salvation in Allah. There is no salvation in the Prophet Muhammad. There is no salvation in the Pope of Rome. There is no salvation in the Virgin Mary. There is no salvation in the Dalai Lama or Buddha. There's no salvation in Joseph Smith or any other name under heaven, only Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't believe that, you chunk your Bible as you leave church today, because it's not worth a dime. The Bible is right and we are wrong. Let God be true and every man a what? A liar. The scriptures are very clear about the solidarity of Jesus Christ being the only way to heaven. John chapter 8, verse number 24. The Lord Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Folks, that means exactly what it says. You don't really need a commentary on that. It says exactly what it says. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 12. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Now watch it, church. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Salvation is not in church membership. I believe that every Christian ought to be a member of one of the Lord's churches. I believe that. It's not in baptism. And yet I believe every Christian ought to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. It is not in the Lord's Supper. Yet I believe that every Christian ought to observe the Lord's Supper. Salvation is not in these things. Have you ever stopped to realize how many millions of people are involved in the wrong way? I just mentioned Allah, the Prophet Muhammad, the biggest, the largest religion in the world. Wrong. Deceived. On the road to hell, and they don't even know it. A leading evangelist who is no longer with us. And I say this with a little reservation. Kind of glad he's not. That he believed that God would make a way for people of other faiths if they were really sincere. He's a Baptist. Said something like that. Folks, the only thing we have to go on is the Bible. The Word of God. And we must divorce ourselves from that which seemeth good and seemeth right. It appears to exist, but it doesn't exist. It's not truth. This life is in His Son. It's in His Son. It means if you get life, you get it in the Son. In the Son. An unregenerate priest in ignorance spoke of Christ as God's only way. Do you remember in John 18:14, when the Jews came to Caiaphas and told him that they had captured the Lord Jesus Christ, Caiaphas' high priest, Judah's high priest. And Caiaphas said this, and I'm quoting it to you from John 18:14. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Those words fell from the lips of an unsaved man. Sometimes the gospel can fall from the lips of Balaam's ass. Huh? It's still the gospel. What did Caiaphas practice? He practiced the law of Moses, being obedient to the law of Moses. And when they presented the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you know what you're ignorant of? That one man must die for the sins of the people. He knew somebody had to die for our sins. Christ, only one. Our Lord made it clear in the Gethsemane prayer. Matthew 26, verse 39. He went a little farther and fell on his face. And he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Had there been another way whereby men could be saved, why in the world would God the Father put His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross? You know why He did? Because there is no other way. No other way. Only one gospel makes it clear that there's only one way of salvation. In the book of Galatians, chapter number 1, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. We have a lot of other gospels being preached today. Sure. What is the summation of Paul's statement here? Which is not another, really it's not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. For though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. Maranatha, let him be damned. There's only one gospel, and that gospel involves the death, burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way God saves sinners, through His Son, Jesus Christ. Men cannot be saved from the gospel if it is any other gospel. And very quickly, the purpose of the law teaches that only Christ can save. The purpose, the reason behind the law is the only reason that Christ can save. Take a moment to turn to Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. Galatians 3, verses 19 through 26. Now listen to the reading of the Word. Wherefore then serveth the law? What's the law good for? Why did God give Moses the law atop Mount Sinai? Why did He do that? Wherefore then service the law? Here's the reason, the purpose of it. It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. And we know who that mediator was. It was Moses. Okay? Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law against the promises of God? God forbid. Now, listen. Underscore this in your Bible. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, Verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. The purpose of the law was to produce guilt to man's sinful condition. He could not keep the law. I don't care how much he tried to keep it, how much he wanted to keep it. He could not keep the law. He broke it over and over and over again. And James said, if we offended in one point, we're guilty of breaking the whole thing. You cannot keep the law. But if there had been a law which could have given righteousness, then salvation would be by keeping that law. By the way, just between us, how you coming along on keeping the law? How you been doing lately? Let's have a few testimonies about that. Huh? How you handle that first commandment? You handle that pretty good. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thank you. Worked that. That's good, isn't that? How about always doing what your mom and your daddy tell you to do and don't bellyache about it? Huh? Is that all right? Honor thy father and thy mother. Bow. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, now, what kind of adultery? We have looked it up. Forget it. How you coming along with it? Oh, you say, well, thank God I'm a virgin. Only you need to be a virgin if you're not married. I said you need to be a virgin if you're not married. Thou shalt not kill. Well, I never have killed anybody, but you sure would like to, wouldn't you? Huh? Well, I got some Democrats. I would really. Yeah, boy. I know where I'd start. Oh, dear friend, you're deceiving nobody but yourself if you're trying to earn your way to heaven by any other way than trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. What does it say? According as he hath chosen us. Let's try it in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined in the beloved. We have redemption only in Jesus Christ. No other way. Jesus Christ is the way, not a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father. No man can come to the Father except he comes by him. Precious preposition there in that first chapter of Ephesians. The next time you're reading it, encircle how many times that preposition in is used. In Christ. In whom? In him. Over and over and over again. It's in him. It is in him. It is in him. It is in Christ. It is only in Christ. He is the way. And apart from him, there is no other way. Someone has said, written on the bar of justice at the great white throne are these words, no other way. Written on the walls of hell are these words, no other way. Written on the gates of glory are these words, no other way. Hebrews 2:3, if we neglect, there's no salvation because there is no other way. I've been preaching for a little while. And if God gives me the health and the strength, I'll continue to do so till He calls me home. I have nothing to preach to you today apart from Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved the sinner so much that He took His place on the cross of Calvary, became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And if you're here today and you don't know whether the Lord has saved you or not, look to Christ. Get off the ways that seem right and look right and appear to be right. And look for truth. And the truth is in His Son, Jesus Christ. Trust Him as your personal Savior. There is no other way. But thank God there is the way. Will you trust Him today? Will you believe on Him today? Would you come to know Him as your Lord and Savior? Let's stand, please, for prayer.